Hallelujah. I think we're ready to go down to the river now. Amen. Get some praying done. Praise God for testimonies of how God changes our lives. I love the message that you take what you got and you put it in God's hands and watch him do his thing. I read an interesting story this week that I want to share with you. Some of you may have read the story too. It's in the news, and it's an event that happened earlier this month, so it's a rather relevant new event. There's a guy that, let me ask you first of all, how many of you have ever run in something like a 1K, 2K, 3K, 4K, 5K, something like that? Look over here. It's great. Keep your hands up a minute. Let me see. See? Got it here. Over here. Great. Great. And how many of you are currently in that race on the path of righteousness with your eyes on the prize, the finish line? Heaven is your home. Woo! What a race to run. 25-year-old Tyler Moon registered for a marathon to run just the 10 miles of the marathon in Minneapolis, Minnesota, earlier this month. When he registered, those of you that have run a race, a lot of times you wear what they call a bib that has your number on the bib and your name. Well, when he registered, instead of putting his name down there, he put Jesus Saves. Now, his intent was just to make some kind of a testimony. As a child of God, as a Christian, he thought, well, here's one way that maybe I could make a difference. Now, he wasn't expecting to save the world through his small gesture of belief in God and the proclamation that Jesus saves. But he felt like that's what he needed to do. Here was an opportunity. If no one else, the runners who happened to see that message on the bib, or maybe those that were observing along the run on the side of the road, maybe they would see that message and it would bring some light, some hope in their lives. So, obedient to God, he put the bib on, not on his shirt as most people would do. He put it on his pants leg and was running. Now, Tyler was not too long out of college, and he was a college athlete, so he was in pretty good shape, thought everything was great. He makes it to mile 8 and falls flat on his face. Hit the pavement. Broke 5 bones in his face. Scraped up his arm and leg, laying on the ground. Something was very wrong. Take a look at this bib that he was wearing. Jesus Saves. Now, here's a guy that started out just to run a race. Being obedient to God, he had that small sign of hope that he wore. And he ends up on his face, on the ground, in serious medical trouble. Doctors diagnosed later that it was a cardiac arrest. He'd never had any problems before. As a matter of fact, when the doctors took a close look at it, they said, there's no reason why that should have happened. It's what they called an anomaly. It just happened. No reason at all. Things like that ever happen to you? It's like, what is this? It was about 5 years ago, I fell through a roof, hit the floor of my garage, cement floor, woke up sometime later. I don't know how long I was out. In excruciating pain. And I'm looking up to God, laying on my back on the floor, and saying, God, why? What is this all about? Wonderful word came from God. He said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. And immediately I felt peace. I also felt pain, but I felt peace. God has a reason. Right behind Tyler Moon was a guy named Jesse, who was a registered nurse, who immediately got down beside Tyler, called for someone to call 911, and began to administer CPR to him and help save his life. Others joined in the effort. Tyler made it. He made it to the hospital and he's okay, hunky-dory today. Jesse, the guy running right behind him that was first to help him out, well, his real name wasn't Jesse. Jesse is Latino. His name on his birth certificate is Jesus. In English, of course, that's Jesus. Well, what do you know? Jesus saves. Now, there are different ways of looking at that. And in this room, different people have different perspectives on that, you know. I see it as, whoa, God, go God. Only God could have put that together. There were a lot of different positions that Jesse could have been in that race, but he was right behind Tyler and first on the scene to help him out. Jesus saves. How incredible. You see Jesse's last name? Bueno. Which translated into English is good. Jesus good. Amen. Jesus good. Jesus good all the time and all the time. Isn't that an incredible story? If we take just the small things that we have and put them in God's hands, being obedient to Him, He can do incredible things with that. God will take the little that we have to offer and multiply that simple lunch of bread and fish for one and make it a feast for thousands. Because one young boy took a lunch with him. Now, can you imagine how that happened? You've got thousands of people out there, and the only meal that the disciples can find is that one little boy who had a lunch of fish and bread. What happened that morning when he headed out the door? His mama said, "Don't you leave without something to eat. I know how you are. You're going to be out all day, and you're going to get busy, and you're going to get distracted, and you won't have nothing to eat out there." Take some, "Oh, mama, I'll be all right. You going to take this food?" And look what Jesus did with it. Oh, my. Oh, my. Just a small lunch? What do we have? What makes a difference is what we do with what we have. Do we put it into God's hands, or we just sit around and moan and groan and complain about it? Is this not what we just heard in testimony already? I take what I got and I put it into God's hands every day and watch God do His thing, and it becomes so incredible. Moses was on the backside of the desert after he had left Egypt in a run because he had killed an Egyptian, and he's out there for years tending sheep. And as he's tending sheep, he looks over and he sees this bush burning, which according to scholars wasn't so unusual in that area. Weather conditions, the kind of bush it was, all that stuff. And Moses is just walking along with the sheep because that's his job. He's taking care of the sheep, and his four-wheeler wasn't working that morning, so he had to walk. So he's out there taking care of the sheep, and he walks, and he looks over, and he sees this bush burning. He says, "Well, there's another one of those weird things going on." And he keeps walking, and he looks back, and it's still burning. Whoa. So he gets closer to take another look. He pulls out his iPhone to take some pictures, shoot a little video of this bush, and he's shooting the bush, and suddenly a voice comes out of the bush, "Moses. Moses. Hold on, I'm taking a video." Moses put the iPhone down and listened. "Moses, here's what I want you to do." So what does Moses do? I know you and I have never done this, but he begins to argue with God. "You got the wrong dude, God. I can't handle that. I don't speak good. I I'm already in trouble. I go back to Egypt and they're going to kill me because I killed an Egyptian. There are all of these reasons I can't do what you're telling me to do. How can I possibly do this?" And God just simply says, "What do you got in your hand?" "I got this staff that I use to help guide the sheep. It's just a stick. But God says, throw it on the ground. Woo-wee. It turned into a snake. God says, just take what you got and look what I can do with it. And then the great challenge came when he said, now pick it up. And he did, and it turned back into a stick, just the staff. If we want to see God do divine things in our life, there's an equation that has to be followed. And there are three simple variables within that equation. Number one, we must be hearing from God. Absolute must. Hearing from God. Number two, we must agree with God in whatever he says. If we'll do that next slide, please, Jerry. Hearing from God, agreeing with God, and then obeying God brings divine results. It's really that simple. But when we want to argue with God, we hear God. Okay, God. And, you know, first we've got to get in a place where we can hear God, don't we? And sometimes that's the most challenging thing, because we've got so much going on. But we hear from God, and then what do we do with what we hear? We agree. Paul says, all the promises of God, God speaks the promises. And he said, yes. He says, yes, these are for you. And then we say, amen. The yes in that passage of scripture from Paul's writings was nahi, Greek word, nahi. God says, nahi, yes, this is for you. This is for you. This promise is for you. And then we say in Hebrew, amen. Now in the living room, Deontay has introduced us to a more contemporary word for amen. Yeah. That became his thing, and so we picked up on it right away, you know. That means I agree. So be it, God. Yeah. So you can feel free if you don't want to say amen, just say, yeah. It's all right. We must hear from God, we must agree with God, and we must obey God. And with those variables and that equation, we see divine results. Because we put what little we have in God's hands. Now, this is our challenge with our 2020 vision that Pastor Randy has been so wonderfully laying out for us. In all of the exciting compassion ministries, we have to understand that we don't go out without God. When God speaks, we say, yes, I agree. This is what you want me to do. Now I'm going to obey you. And when we do that, we will see divine results. Jesus said this, 15th chapter of John, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's add a little context to it and read the rest of that verse. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's, you know, some people look at something like Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I get up every morning. I don't pray, God help me get up. I just get up. I go to work, God didn't help me get that job. I got that job. I applied for the job, I got the job. I do a lot of things without God. Well, that's true. But there will come a day, no matter who you are, that you'll wish you had God to help, because you're not going to be able to do what you need to do. Yeah. That's right. Amen. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you hear me, agree with me, and obey me, you will bear much fruit. Statement of fact. It will happen. But then some people say, well, you know, what do I want with fruit? I'm not even a big fruit eater. Why do I want fruit? And of course, it doesn't mean literal fruit. Here's what he means. This comes from the fifth chapter of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the what? Take my fruit. It's God's fruit. But it's exhibited through me. It's revealed through me. Is it revealed through me so that I can enjoy the fruit? The fruit is revealed to me so others around me can enjoy the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit being exhibited through me. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we're that way, people like to be around us a lot more than if we're just exhibiting the works of the flesh. It's the Spirit's fruit, but it reveals itself in us. Because, why? As a child of God, the Spirit is in us. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says in verse 25 of this fifth chapter of Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, life comes to us. What are we talking about? Eternal fruit. If we want to produce eternal fruit, it has to be through the Holy Spirit. Or we can do simple things through life. By God's grace, we can breathe. By God's grace, we can get up in the morning. It's all by God's grace. Without even acknowledging God, much less serving Him, obeying Him. But if we want to have eternal dividends, the fruit of eternal dividends in our life, it has to come through the Holy Spirit, through God. It's the only way. Since we live by the Spirit, it's the only way that we have that life in Christ, is by the Spirit giving us that life. And again, when we surrender our lives to God, the Holy Spirit comes inside and lives in us. Isn't that amazing? It's God in us. But only by the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for us and us accepting that Savior, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice He made. So if we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. If it's the Spirit that gives us life, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Where's the Spirit leading? Let's keep in step with it. What's the Spirit doing in our life? Let's keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. And how do we do that? Let's go back to that 15th chapter of John. Look at the words of Jesus there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You got that? Who's the true vine? Jesus. Only one true vine. If you want life, only one true vine, Jesus Christ. And who's the gardener? He's taking care of the whole vineyard. And all that we need is right there in the vineyard, feeding that true vine of Jesus Christ so that we can be nourished as a branch in the vine. Then he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Oh, wow. There are some obvious points that could be made there, but I just want to make one point. That's pretty indicative of the fact that it's pretty important that we bear fruit. It's absolutely necessary that we bear fruit. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. We got to bear fruit. Okay. What did Jesus say? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. In all likelihood, at 30 years old, his voice was not changing when he said that. You will bear fruit. So it comes as a supernatural, natural expression of what's happening in our relationship with God. We bear fruit. And then he says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for the pruning. Amen.
I don't know.
Are you familiar with pruning? Something's got to be cut off, right? Something's got to be let go. Something's got to be done away with. Are we willing to let God prune us? It's so we can be more fruitful. Sometimes we collect. How many of you know a hoarder? Are they sitting next to you right now? I got stuff at my house I should have thrown away a long time ago. You know, I put it over here because I said, you know, I'm probably going to need that later. And then when I need it, I can't find it. What's the point? So we have this in our lives, things that just are there and are in the way. And we have to allow God to do the pruning process. Sometimes God wants to take things out of our life that we don't want to let go of. Let's put it in a very material sense. We got that car. We bought that car brand new. Hot diggity dog. That's a car I always wanted. Man, that is the best looking car. 5 years later, it ain't worth a dime. Something happened, the engine blew, and now all I got is a repair bill that I can't afford. And it's like, what if God is saying, I'm taking this out of your life because you're hanging on to this too much and it's becoming your God, and we got to get this out of the way so you can be more fruitful. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a good-looking car. I'm proud of you if you got one. But is it in the way? Whatever it is in our life, does God need to do some pruning of things, taking things out of our life that just are really in the way and keeping us from being able to bear much fruit? Was it something I said? Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Like I got to be honest with you, when I lay on that floor after falling through the roof and God says, all things work together for good who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. And I said, amen, God, amen, amen. You're going to do something. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to do something. And he did. And when I was in the hospital recuperating, going through weeks of therapy, I began reading the book of John. I had time. A lot of distractions had moved out of the way in my life. And I got into the Word, looking at that the book of John, and got to that 15th chapter the day before I left the hospital. And God said, here it is. I want you to be more fruitful. That's why this has happened in your life. And I changed. My attitude changed. My perspective changed. I changed. Then Jesus says, you, and speaking to his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's part of the pruning process. Pastor Randy was sharing, and we all studied in small group in their Sunday school classes about sanctification recently. Part of that sanctifying process comes through the word of God. We read the word, we get into the word, and suddenly the word is saying, let's take a look at this. Here's something you need to get out of your life. And so much of the pruning process takes place when we're in the word. God is teaching us, he's growing us, and when he's ready to take that out, the word becomes alive and active in our lives, and we say, okay, I'm letting it go, God. Sanctification, I'm letting it go. And then I'm able to be more fruitful. And then he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Just that emphasis here. We got to remain in the vine. We got to be closely connected. That connection in the vine is communication with God. And so many times in our lives, God is having to say, can you hear me now? Well, yes or no? Can you hear me now? Let's move this out of your life. Can you hear me now? Let's get this out of the way. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And it's not only about a connection, it's about a firm connection in the vine. To be firmly connected in the vine brings great communication with God. And when we got great communication with God, we're clearly hearing God. When we're hearing God, we're agreeing with God. You want me to go somewhere else with it? All right, where else could I go? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? There you go, pick up on it. Sing it.
Tear it up.
So what do? I follow God. I let him take those things out of my life that need to be taken out of our lives. And I become more fruitful. We must remain in the vine. And then he says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remember this. I'm the vine, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we are to be fruitful, we must have a solid connection in the vine. If we live by the Spirit, then we must keep in step with the Spirit. So it is, you know, and the great thing about being in a relationship with God is there's always another step. There's always another stage. There's always a higher level. There's more and more. And so God is sanctifying us and drawing us closer to him. And the closer we are to him, the easier it is for us to see, okay, this is what I have, God. Now I'm putting it in your hands. You use it. And I'm expecting divine results. The spiritual nutrition that we must have comes through the vine as we're keeping in step with the Spirit. Without the connection, our efforts are futile. 127th Psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Isn't it frustrating when you work so hard at something and then it amounts to nothing? You've worked so hard to put it together. You've worked so hard to make it work, and it just doesn't work. It's so frustrating. And that's why so many people in life become so hopeless. It's because we've been trusting in something that is not trustable. It'll only take us so far. But when we are connected in the vine, we are bearing fruit. And we become much more productive. So what's it like working outside the vine? Living outside the vine. Not being connected in the vine. Outside of the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Here's an example. Extreme example, admittedly. It's an extreme example, but it's an example. Acts, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 11. It starts off here as a good example of what it's like to be connected in the vine. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Hallelujah. Paul connected to the vine and God able to use him and bring healings and cast out demons. But then look what Luke writes. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Now, these were Jews who were not Christians. There were Jews who were Christians. These Jews were not Christians, and they were trying to act on what only God could do without being connected to the vine and knowing God. Ooh, boy, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? Ever been there? Well, God, I went to church this Sunday, and I prayed, and I sang the songs, and oh, I know now I can handle it. I got this, God. Yeah, uh-oh is right. No, yeah, there. It's just an uh-oh. Yeah, depending on ourselves and our own abilities, not depending on God, and it just doesn't happen. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. That's like someone facing a burglar, somebody that is threatening their life and says, you better watch it, because I know a guy who's got a cousin whose daddy's a sheriff deputy. I don't think it's going to bring much fear into your burglar, is it? I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. I don't know the guy, but I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. In the name of Jesus, the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this, that very thing. Sons of a chief priest going rogue, calling on the name of Jesus, using the name of Jesus. One day, the evil spirit answered them. As our dear friend Scooby-Doo would say, "Row, row." Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Yeah, I know Jesus, and I know about Paul. But you ain't got nothing I'm scared of. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Woo! Don't go out in the name of Jesus unless you got Jesus. It isn't enough to go to church. It isn't enough to read your Bible. It isn't enough to pray. You got to have Jesus. You got to be connected in the vine. But when you're connected in the vine, everything's all right. But now let's take a look at an example of those who were well connected in the vine. Here's a story of the apostle Peter and John after the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and they're headed to the temple to pray one day. And they come up to the gate called Beautiful, and we're about to go through the gate, and there's a lame man there that's been there like every day. He's been lame from birth, and he's begging. And so he calls out to them, asking for money. Here's what Peter says. Third chapter of Acts. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Ain't got no money, but I got Jesus. Something that was already brought up earlier. Laura brought that up. It isn't about education. Although I'm glad if you've got a lot of education. I think it's great. It isn't about how much money you have or don't have. It isn't about your social status, high or low. What it's about is, do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered all to him? Are you connected in the vine? Are you hearing God? Are you agreeing with him? Are we doing what God says do? And then Peter, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Power, God's power through Peter and John. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. That was Peter and John connected in the vine, firmly connected in the vine. Doing the work of God. Peter was saying, "I don't have what you're asking for, but I got something better." You can face people when you go out in compassion ministries. You can face people that say, "Well, I need this or this or this or this. Look, I ain't got that, but I got Jesus." And we can get on the track to help you because we got what it takes. And there are some people that will argue with you. "Yeah, but this and, you know, well, look, I don't know about all that. I don't have all the answers, but I got Jesus." Well, this incident actually took Peter and John to jail. They were forced to appear before some dignitaries, Jewish dignitaries. In that fourth chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 5, "The next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family." This was a big to-do. These guys wanted to confront. Look, for Peter and John were responsible for healing this lame man that had never walked. And the crowds had gotten into an uproar and wanted to hear more. And Peter and John were preaching to these crowds. And so they call them up. Let's talk about this. What is going on? And they bring the family in. And let's have a barbecue. And we're going to find out what this is all about. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? What's your source? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Peter, not filled with himself, Peter, not filled with a doctorate degree, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, laid it out on a table and told them about Jesus. This is the name, this is the power, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. By the power of the Holy Spirit that comes through the vine into us as we're connected with the vine. And then look at their response. Of course, they had a lot of response of like, well, yeah, but like, well, you better not go out there and talk about this no more. In the 13th verse of that fourth chapter of Acts, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When we're connected in the vine, firmly connected in the vine, people say, oh, you know, you've been with Jesus. And that's what matters. Here's the way it is. If we're unplugged from the vine, we're unproductive. If we're disconnected, we're disengaged. It's just the reality of it. If we want to be a part of God's kingdom and what's going on, we got to be connected in the vine. You know, it's got to be a true relationship with God. It's got to be about praying and in the Word, meditating on God, hearing Him, agreeing with Him, obeying Him. If we're to truly see divine results, unplugged means unproductive. Disconnected means disengaged. And I want to share this last scripture with you as encouragement to you. From the first chapter of Colossians, beginning with verse 9. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. How do we receive it? We're connected in the vine because through the vine comes the Holy Spirit feeding us all the nutrients that we need to be in the will of God, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Isn't that what we want to do? Please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That's what God wants for us, and that's what God gives to us when we are connected in the vine, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Oh, what blessings, what life that comes through being connected in the vine. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Share in the inheritance. I want to be a part of what God has for us. I want to be a part of His kingdom. I want to be a part. And I am when I am connected in the vine, the true vine. And then this last statement from Paul. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We're here to push back the darkness. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amazing relationship with God, Creator, Savior, all that we need. All that you and I need
comes to us when we are connected in the vine. All that we need to do all that God wants us to do, to bring about divine results. Here we are, Father. You have spoken to us in so many ways, and there was that wonderful day when you spoke to us and showed us, revealed to us, our need to surrender to you. And we did. And since that time, Father, we've been challenged time and time again, and sometimes we've been obedient and sometimes we haven't. But in your mercy, you have forgiven us and continue to call us and draw us closer and closer to you. Today is a day when you're speaking to us again. And we're being challenged. Are we firmly connected in the vine? Do we truly hear you? And when we hear you, do we agree and do we obey? Today's the day. Today is the day. So speak to us. And there are some, Father, that have yet to discover that redemption, that forgiveness of sins. And today's the day of salvation. Today's a day to get connected in the vine and discover true life from the true vine and know all those incredible, amazing blessings that you give us. So I pray, speak to our hearts right now. Right now, Father, speak to our hearts. Show us what we are to do to take this next step to make sure we're firmly connected in the vine, to make sure that we are in relationship with you, to make sure that we are hearing, agreeing, and obeying you in all that we do. Will you stand with us?